Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aegis Logistics Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Chandaria. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm joined by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Murad Moledina, and Ms. Payal Dave from our investor relations team, and we will be presenting the Q4 and full-year results ended 31st March 2024. Before I move on to discuss the financial performance for the full-year FY24, I am pleased to inform you that the Board of Directors has recommended a final dividend of 2 rupees, or 200% per share, of the face value of 1 rupee. The company has already declared and paid two interim dividends of 2 rupees in February 2024 and 2.5 rupees in August of 2023 for the financial year ended 31st March, and therefore the total dividend for the full-year amounts to 6.50 rupees per share, or 650% for every share of face value 1 rupee. As you know, as far as the vision and the mission of this company, the core purpose is to be an enabler in the transition to a more sustainable India, and given that our business lies at the very heart of that necessary transition, our mission to store and distribute bulk liquids and gases in a safe and sustainable manner is ever more critical. As a company that is building and operating energy infrastructure, we believe that we can play our part in moving India from using dirty fuels to using cleaner fuels. Now, as far as our strategy is concerned, of course, this remains consistent with the mission, and we continue to look for M&A opportunities. During the year, we have completed several acquisitions. We continue to expand our distribution footprint by installing more LPG filling plants and signing up more distributors, and we continue the build-out of the CapEx plan that we kicked off last year, and I'll give you more details of that, of the progress of that, later on in the call. In financial highlights, we have, I'm delighted to announce that we have reached a significant milestone by surpassing 1,000 crore in normalized EBITDA for FY24, and our liquid division has also reached record revenues and EBITDA, and our logistics and distribution segment has seen its highest-ever volumes. Operating EBITDA for the liquid division was 396 crore, and for the LPG division, 612 crore. We also delivered record volumes in our LPG logistics business of 4.1 million metric tons, and distribution volumes of 0.56 million tons. Our profits for FY24 amounted to 672 crore rupees, marking a 32% year-over-year growth. The outstanding performance aligns with our guidance of achieving a 25% cumulative average growth in earnings per share over the next 3 years, and I'm pleased to note that we have maintained, in fact, an EPS of 25% since 2022, after our joint venture with Vopak. So I think you'll agree with me that these results are consistent with our quarterly updates during the past year. The main drivers for this have been the continued growth of the volumes in our Kandla terminal, growth in our distribution business, and continued growth in liquids, through the addition of new capacity and full utilization of newly commissioned tanks. Furthermore, as the new projects that are now being implemented are commissioned, we are confident that the positive momentum we saw in FY24 will be sustained in FY25 and onwards. As I mentioned in our last call, the group is in the middle of a major expansion program, and I can provide an update on the progress of this program. Let me start with JNPT port. We established a foothold in this port in the second port of Mumbai at JNPT with our new 110,000 kiloliter terminal, which will be commissioned later this year. It's proceeding well on time and on budget. Moving on to Pipavav, as you may have read in the news last year, Gujarat Pipavav port revamped its berth to handle very large gas carriers, VLGCs, and because of that, we have increased our volumes there, and we have achieved also a major milestone by loading over 1,000 LPG railway rakes at this port. We are now regularly bringing VLGCs to Pipavav port and achieving these record rail movements to our clients. We are also expanding our LPG capacity at that port by adding two cryogenic tanks with a capacity of total capacity of 45,000 metric tons, which is expected to be commissioned by Q1 of FY26, and have also commissioned recently an LPG bottling plant there, enhancing both the throughput and distribution capabilities in that port. Additionally, that port has announced its investment in a new liquid berth to meet the growing demand for liquid cargoes, which are also driving economic growth in Gujarat and beyond. And with the Kandla-Gorakhpur pipeline expected to connect into Pipavav, this will eventually make Pipavav LPG terminal a really important hub to handle LPG. Moving on then to Mangalore, we successfully acquired a specialized storage terminal with a capacity of 44,168 kiloliters in this last year. This acquisition meets the growing demand for specialized storage with the heating arrangements of up to 230 degrees centigrade in our liquid division. This expands our facilities at Mangalore under the Aegis Vopak Terminals Limited. The newly acquired capacity is already operational, and with additional capacity under construction, expected to come online in phases by the end of FY25. Following these expansions, our total liquid capacity at Mangalore will reach 154,000 kiloliters, and we are constructing an additional 71,000 kiloliters in liquids that will be operational in the next 12 to 15 months. Our cryogenic LPG project, the 85,000 ton cryogenic LPG project, is proceeding well on schedule and expected to be definitely commissioned on time. As far as Kandla port is concerned, Q4 of FY24, we commissioned 35,000 kiloliters of liquid tankage, bringing our total capacity to just shy of a million metric tons, or 970,000 to be precise. We are additionally constructing 25,000 kiloliters of tankage, which will be operational next year. Over the past 2 years, we have experienced rapid growth at this port, capturing a significant market share in both our liquids and LPG business. The LPG bottling plant at Kandla has also been commissioned and is now generating revenue. At Kochi, we acquired 16,000 kiloliter liquid storage terminal during the year, and the same is performing well. We're also expanding our capacity at this port by another 25,000 kiloliters of liquids. At Haldia port, the expansion at Haldia to set up an additional 50,000 kiloliters was also completed during the year. With all these acquisitions and expansions, our total storage capacity all over India will be almost 2 million kiloliters. We plan to construct an additional 300,000 kiloliters in this new fiscal year of FY25 to fulfill our vision of creating a network of terminals throughout the coastline of India. So as far as the expectations for the business in the coming financial year, assuming that the buoyant economic trends continue, we expect to also to continue delivering earnings growth in line with the trend of the past couple of years and reaping the benefits of the investments that we have made in both our terminaling business as well as the distribution business. You may recall that this time last year, we had set out the CapEx plan of about 4,500 crores by FY27, now almost 50% of which comprised of these two cryogenic LPG terminals in Pipavav and Mangalore, as well as the various liquid expansions in Haldia, Mangalore, JNPT, Kandla and Kochi, which are proceeding on time and on budget. And we expect to commission the Pipavav and Mangalore cryogenic terminals in Q1 of FY26. And the pace of CapEx spending, we expect this to continue beyond FY27, as we look at opportunities in the pipeline. I'm also finally pleased to announce that in the field of new energy and in keeping with our vision, we are in fact proceeding with our first with the first of our ammonia terminals, which I've mentioned in the past, but we are definitively announcing it now, and this will be located in the state of Gujarat. We expect to commence construction during this fiscal year after receiving all the necessary permits from the regulatory authorities. And we expect to build more ammonia terminals as this business matures. I think we'll endeavor to become vertically integrated in this business, just like in the ammonia business, just like we are in the LPG business. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Molledina to present the financial performance in detail. Murat, over to you.
Good afternoon. Continuing, both our divisions delivered a strong performance for the full year ended 31st March 2024, driven by the highest lifetime revenue and profitability in liquid division once again, and the highest lifetime profitability and volumes in the gas division. For the group as a whole, EBITDA for the year ended 31st March 24 was 1,008 crores, an increase of 25% compared to the same period last year. Profit after tax increased by 32% to 672 crores in FY24. Earnings per share also increased to 16.22 as compared to 13.19 for the full year ended 31st March 24, an increase of 23%. I would now like to provide you with some more details on the individual segments. First, liquid business. Liquid has delivered another record stellar performance for the full year ended 31st March 24. The revenues were 549 crores, an increase of 31% year-on-year basis. We delivered the highest ever EBITDA at 396 crores versus 272 crores in the previous year, which is an increase of 46%. This improved performance can be attributed to the new capacity coming online as well as acquisitions at Kandla, Kochi and Mangalore. LPG business. LPG division has also delivered record volumes in our logistics business, delivering a growth of 23% by handling 4.10 million tons of LPG in the last year. In our distribution business, has not only sustained the performance but has delivered a growth of 13% by distributing 5.6 lakhs metric ton of LPG across verticals. The above mentioned factors has helped us to achieve a record EBITDA crossing 1,000 crore, a growth of 25% year on year. Our PAT has also grown by 32% to 672 crores. Now let me give you volume details of each subsegment. Throughput volumes. The LPG volumes for the full year ended 31st March handled at all our four terminals, Mumbai, Haldia, Kandla and Pipavav, were 4.1 million metric tons versus 3.33 million metric tons same period last year, an increase of 23%. This marks the second consecutive year where we have achieved double-digit growth in this division. Distribution volumes. We had good growth in our distribution business too. Full year ended 31st March 24. The volumes increased by 13% as against same period volumes last year. The commercial, industrial, and auto segment combined handled 559.7 thousand metric tons versus 494.2 thousand metric tons last year. Additionally, the margins of these divisions have actually improved. Sourcing volume. The sales volume of sourcing business for the full year ended 31st March 24 was 798.4 thousand metric tons versus 895.3 thousand metric tons in the same period last year. The financial position of the company remains robust with low debt, strong cash flow, and a solid balance sheet. With this, I now hand over this line to the moderator to start the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire AGS team for such a strong result. So that's first. What I wanted to ask, since you have finally taken the step on ammonia, so if you can give some color on it, that what this static capacity represents, let's say, in terms of a full year number, I mean, when it is commissioned, like in a million ton quantum. And after that, what sort of target you have, like in a million ton per annum number to scale up the ammonia? And if you can walk through the financials of the project, like essentially what can be the expected EBITDA per ton, the tons of those assets, like those sort of things, if you can walk us through.
Priyankar, so ammonia, this, you know, is the first terminal that we are getting into construction of. And this is to be of a static capacity of 36,000 metric tons. Now, in ammonia, it's more like liquid business. So you can turn around at most three times. So effectively, if you look at 36,000 metric tons, it's like 1.2 million tons. That is the maximum you can go to. If you take all the three turnarounds, then it would be somewhere around 1,000 rupees revenue, like LPG, which you will get. But if you look at static capacity, then it should be around 3,000 rupees. So you start with one turnaround, and then as the business matures, you would likely grow from there on. But the max you can do is three times.
So if I understand it correctly, so you can do effectively an EBITDA of something like 1,000 rupees per ton, right? I mean,
yes.
Ammonia handled. So that's the correct assessment.
Same like LPG, just a little under 1,000.
Okay. And on gas, since we are on the gas, what I see is that from 3Q versus 4Q, the volumes were kind of similar, the logistics volumes. And distribution was also broadly there, slightly lower. But yet I see that the EBITDA for the gas division is meaningfully higher than what was in 3Q. So has there been some margin expansion? And if it is so, where has it happened? Is it in distribution or is it in, let's say,
yes,
logistics? Which way?
It has happened in distribution on account of procurement efficiencies, which we could get in this quarter. So the margins have improved in Q4 as far as distribution volumes are concerned.
So this procurement efficiency, is it sustainable? So what I mean is, like in FY25, can we, like, let's say on a per ton basis, expect such sort of margin to sustain? Let's say?
It depends. So I suggest that we should not be comparing quarter to quarter, but if you look at yearly average margins, I think those are sustainable. And it may vary quarter to quarter, but as the volumes will grow, the procurement efficiencies will be more and more. So it all depends on how much we are able to scale up. As I have said in past, when Mangalore cryogenic and Pipavav cryogenic comes up, which is basically in FY 2026, you will really see a step up in distribution volumes as also the procurement efficiencies. FY 2025, we should carry on with the margins which we have achieved FY 2024 with a normal scale-up in volumes, like we always do, 20%, 25%, 30%.
Just the final question, maybe I'll come back into the queue later. If you can give us some idea, like, what sort of logistics and distribution volumes should one reasonably expect in FY 2025? You can give a broad range, even that will be fine.
I think if you take the run rate of the fourth quarter for logistics volume, and a slight improvement on that, I think we should achieve 5 million plus for FY 2025 if all things are normal as far as, you know, all other factors are concerned. Distribution volumes, we have always said that we expect a 25% increase from here on.
Okay. Can you give us the similar thing in liquids? Because we have seen the liquid margins also expanding massively in this quarter. What sort of sustainable rate we should see going forward?
Again, please look at the margins on yearly basis. Quarter to quarter depends on the type of products we store. Sometimes take-or-pay comes in, sometimes. You have to look at the margins when for the whole year, and then those would be sustainable next year also. Liquid also depends on how soon, how fast your capacities under constructions come up and are commissioned, as well as you are aware, M&A opportunities, which 2 years in succession we have been able to get and hope so also going forward. Depending on all of that, you would see. Again, we retain our guidance. The only guidance we give is the EPS increase year-on-year of CAGR 25%. If you work back, I think what we have just said about gas and liquid, you would get to those kind of numbers to achieve a EPS CAGR of 25%.
Even the liquid revenues was very high, I mean, this in this quarter. Is this run rate doable, I mean, going forward? Let's other than the margin.
The capacities also have come up in the last quarter, as well as, like I said, there are always, you know, take-or-pay, sometimes take-or-pays are there, sometimes type of product. You should see it year as a whole.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jolyon Loo from Amiral Gestion. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi. No, thanks for the opportunity. Specifically, could you comment on your liquid segment this quarter? I think the capacity went up 14%, including the M&A, but the revenue obviously went up 66%, which is a fantastic result. Is there any one-off here? You know, could you break down the 66% between M&A and the capacity that came online?
No, like we have just answered that. Liquid, you have to see it, not quarter to quarter, but for the whole year. During the year, we have increased our capacity. We are almost 2 million now as compared to 1.6 in the previous year. Of course, sometimes you do get opportunities for take-or-pay contracts, where even if the use is not there, you get the revenues. These, you have to look at it on a yearly basis, and we expect the capacity to grow next year also, by almost 300,000 CBM. It's more CapEx growth that is leading to revenue and EBITDA. You know, most of the time, this capacity addition is at the existing sites where the expenses remain the same, and the entire increase in the revenue flows down to the because you are operating with the same kind of resources as you have expanded in the existing sites.
Okay, so we are at 2 million this year. Next year, FY25, we will end at 2.3 million is what you are saying.
Yes, that is what we will end with, hopefully.
Okay. Just one more question. Maybe could you comment on the KGPL or any like government-related projects? Because I think there will be a significant driver of volume in the next 1 to 1.5 years.
Again, KGPL is progressing well and is expected to come on line, timed with our cryogenic, which is expected by end of FY25 and Q1 FY26. So we hope both to commence around the same time, and that will certainly, we hope, will bring volume upside as far as gas business is concerned.
Okay, so no delays on the government side?
And so far, so good.
Okay, fingers crossed. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash Dedia from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a very good set of numbers. Congratulations to the whole Aegis team. Sir, on the liquid part, I know you clarified that the whole year should be looked as normalized number for revenue. But I just wanted to understand the take-or-pay which we get. Is for the not using the facility as per the contract, correct?
Yeah, those are, sometimes, yes. When the capacity is hired, yeah.
Yeah. So our capacity utilization currently is at what level? Around? For
around
level? Overall?
87%.
87%. And do we see it dropping, or the contracts are long-term in nature?
No, liquid contracts are always around 1 year types of contracts, which we have always said in the past. And capacity utilization literally has no meaning as far as liquid storage business is concerned. So you have to look at your realizations per capacity that you have installed. And that is how we generally look at, which is like 3,000 rupees per CBM capacity that you have would be the revenue. Yeah.
Yeah, so the turns which we get are pretty much normal every quarter on quarter.
Most of the time, yes. But it depends on what types of product you store in a particular...
Yeah, so the margin could be different because of the type of product which is stored.
The volumes generally remain the same, yes.
Volumes generally remain the same. And the revenue, as the realization as well. So in realization, is there a very vast difference in terms of product differentiation or the differences?
Yeah. For example, vegetable oil could be 125 rupees or 150 rupees a month, whereas a speciality chemical or an acid could be 600, 700, 1000 rupees, could be 10x, 8x, 10x.
So what we are guiding is for, say for example, in this quarter, we got a revenue of 193 crore from liquid. And this could be the reason, the reason could be, say, because of better product mix in the liquid,
various reasons. Various reasons, not just product types, various reasons.
So one of the reason is that.
One of the reason is, but you have to look at the whole year because, you know, sometimes you, things come in one particular quarter, but that's how you plan things. So you have to look at the whole year.
Yeah, but majorly the turns wouldn't change then, and the take or pay is also based on the turns. Say for example, if the capacity was booked and was not utilized, then they will pay take or pay.
Correct. So then
the major variance should be the product mix.
Yep. But if there are spot contracts, then the volumes also matter, because if they evacuate faster, the next set of product will get you additional revenue.
So the more turns will happen.
More turns will happen. See, it's a combination of many things, which is why you cannot pinpoint to one particular thing.
And so this quarter's product mix, which was there, do we expect it to sustain, or that also we should look at on the whole year?
Whole year revenue of liquid has to be seen, and we see a growth from there in the next year because of capacity addition, because of type of products that we would store may change, and also because of the turns or the number of turns, the evacuation of products faster. So all the factors put together is what makes us believe that next year also we'll see a healthy growth in liquid business.
So around 10-15% would be the growth from CAPEX, that the capacity which we are adding.
Yes, definitely 10-15% on account of the capacity addition.
And more could come, say, as a result of better product mix, which would be approximately how much?
See, we cannot predict that, but what we always guide is that we, with whatever levers we have, the range of business that we have, liquid, gas, in gas, throughput, distribution, etc., we try our best to have a growth in our profits, which is basically boils down to EPS, and that's what we advise, that we are quite confident of delivering a 25% EPS growth year on year. It could be a combination of many things. Sometimes liquid growth, sometimes gas, throughput, distribution. But the end result would definitely, the confidence is there of the management that we would be able to deliver 25%.
Okay, got it. And just one more on EBITDA per ton for logistic division. Was it similar, or was there a spike in it?
Yeah, around 1100 rupees.
Around 1100 only. And the distribution EBITDA per ton was more because of procurement efficiency.
There is, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhruv Bhatia from Bank of India Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question, if you could just, you know, you talked about a little bit about the ammonia terminal and the commercials. I didn't get the exact number. You said it's 1,000 rupees per ton on 3x turns that you're looking at.
No, so you take it like this, that the revenues are between 2,500 to 3,500 per static capacity metric ton.
Okay, that's the revenue.
Yeah, so but if you take the number of tons, three times, then you have to divide by three, which is why I said 1,000 rupees.
Okay, and what about the profitability, sir?
Yeah, that's like LPG, 90% EBITDA.
Okay, because when I'm doing the calculation, it's coming to roughly about, you know, 10-12 crores of EBITDA, right?
Huh?
Oh, sorry, 120 crores of EBITDA.
You missed 10, yeah.
120 crores of EBITDA is what we're looking at from at full or three times asset turn.
Yeah, again, a 25% IRR kind of a thing.
And who would be, you know, I mean, like an LPG business where, you know, the LPG is getting imported and you are storing for on behalf of the customer. In this case, could you just talk about a little bit on the industry landscape, you know, who would be the type of customers that you're looking at, and, you know, generally each business that you enter into or any new capacity that you add,
yes.
You always have a customer, anchor customer, or a customer who's telling you, you know, probably, you know, start, you know, can you put up a X capacity in a certain location? So in this case, could you give you a little more color about it?
Yeah, this ammonia terminal, please understand, will come on stream in 24 months, right? So it's 2026, number one. Number two, this ammonia terminal would be equipped to handle import as well as exports. So effectively, it means that it can store gray, blue, green, any type of ammonia because the molecule is the same. Therefore, we believe with the kind of marketing, internal marketing research that we have done, that there will be enough demand either of gray ammonia, which would be more of imports, or green ammonia for exports by the time our terminal is commissioned, which is why we have announced the first out of many more that are expected to come in our company going forward. But we wait. As the business will mature, we would announce more such investments. For now, we are announcing only one at our existing site. So as you can understand, most of the infrastructure is in place in Pipavav. So there is a jetty, we have our people, etc. So the only cost is the capex and the power. So EBITDA margins would also be very high. The lease is also already been absorbed. So that is the reason we have decided to go ahead with this ammonia terminal.
Okay. Like every other capacity that you build, you generally do everything in-house. In this case also, because you know you've got
absolutely
that,
in-house. Yes,
everything will be done in-house.
Yeah, it's because the infrastructure is similar to that of LPG.
Understood. And so just two bookkeeping questions. You did mention throughput EBITDA per ton in FY24 was 1100, which generally was 1000 rupees on a steady basis. So one is is this sustainable, and what has led to the improvement?
So as the capacity utilization will increase, like I said, the revenue will flow down to the EBITDA, and the percentage is statistics, so would definitely see an upside in that manner. So it is not that the expenses are getting reduced, it is just that the revenue is increasing and the expenses are not increasing at that pace at which the utilization of the terminal increases, which is why you will see a better EBITDA margins per ton as the utilization of the capacity goes up.
Okay. And what was the distribution EBITDA per ton in FY24?
It has increased, so would be somewhere around between 4,500 to 5,000 rupees.
Okay. And so last question, because this year I think this year the minority contribution to the profit was somewhere about 15-odd%, though this quarter it was on the higher side at I think about 17-18%. Again, you've explained in the past about how it's structured, but going forward, should it be considered at about 17-18% just from modeling purpose?
I will not be able to help you on that, but yes, I think the way it has been structured and the way at present, it can change going forward, but we expect minority interest to be between 15-20%, yes.
Perfect, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Chirag from Budhrani Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Just wanted to get an update on this cryogenic ammonia project that you are talking about. Sir, you are doing a capex of at Pipavav in Mangalore. So is it the same or is it different?
We expect, because there are some additional facilities which will be needed for ammonia. So at present we have said that it will cost us up to approximately 500 crores, but we'll come up with as we finalize everything with the permit getting in place, we will keep updating the numbers as we go.
So sir, this 5,000 ton and 85,000 ton of LPG, cryogenic LPG tank, they are different from the ammonia, right?
That's completely different.
Okay. Second thing is, sir, when you were explaining the matrix, you said 36,000 metric ton. So that is the capacity for ammonia tanks, you are saying, right?
Yeah, the static capacity.
Static capacity, and then the churn of 3 times and 1,000 rupee EBITDA per ton.
That is maximum that can happen. We are not saying it will happen from day one.
At max. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And for that, we are looking at a 500 crore kind of a number, right?
As of now.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Ankur Shah from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, just one question on the distribution business. Have you read the announcement that Gujarat Gas has announced a EOI to link natural gas sales with propane pricing? Even on the recent con call, we heard the commentary that they are very keen and aggressive to get the volume market share. So, sir, any comments on the competitive landscape with respect to this?
We have always been saying that for us Morbi is not be all end all of the whole world. So there is a lot of market beyond Morbi also, but we continue selling in Morbi in spite of whatever steps. It's been now what 18 months. There have been various steps taken by Gujarat Gas to I should not say Gujarat Gas but natural gas to keep to dominate the market of Morbi, but that has not been the case. Today 40-50% of Morbi is being catered to by propane. Even the ceramic, you see, propane is also having a unique advantage in ceramic and glass, where there are many chemical reactions and different temperatures are needed. So it's not just the money, it's also the quality and the use of the gas that is available for the industry. So we are not saying that it will only be propane, nor are we saying that it will only be natural gas as far as Morbi is concerned. Even the industries out there would want alternatives because suddenly, there could be a volatility. And then, like the experience last year, they were in deep trouble because of volatility that happened to natural gas. So I think both will keep supplying to Morbi and other industrial clusters and keep growing. The issue here is to replace dirty fuels, like furnace oil, coal, etc., which is still very much prevalent in industries, more so in small and medium scale industries. So we are also very keen to expand this distribution, which we call bulk industrial distribution. And all those industrial clusters like MIDCs, GIDCs, KIDCs, RIDCs, whatever they are, they have a lot of small and medium scale units which are still on dirty fuels like diesel, furnace oil, coal, etc. So there is a huge wide world out there where I think both NG and propane should push and replace and grow. So it's okay, let them link it to anything. It's finally the procurement price that matters, right? So we'll see going forward how today, even today, in spite of all of that, we are competing well with NG price. LPG, the biggest advantage is portability, that you can go by road, rail, etc., but NG can only be supplied by pipeline, and wherever pipeline network is there, only there it can reach out. You look at our presentation, which we have added a few slides on the LPG advantage, which is there. We have tried to explain vis-a-vis all other fuel that are there. And these are unique advantages, and I will not be easily to replace, especially for a country like India.
Sir, see, this question is primarily because, I would say that, Aegis had taken a very massive lead in the distribution business, and the propane distribution which Aegis started, the adoption was very quick because of a very major price differential and a real right to win. And obviously, both the fuels have, like you mentioned, different procurement. But I'm seeing in this quarter, once the natural gas price comes closer to propane pricing, I've seen natural gas win in volumes versus propane, which may be one of the reason why the distribution business has degrown in the fourth quarter. So any comments on that?
Do not look at quarter to quarter. I reiterate, it's not just Aegis which supplies propane to Morbi IOC, BPCL, HPCL, all of them supply. And I think in Q4 also, 40% at least, I believe, was supplied by was propane gas, which was supplied to Morbi. So things have not changed too much, and LPG prices, as you know, have fallen in the month of May onwards because winter is over. So now it will be the other way around. How far can NG go down as the propane and LPG prices will slide?
True.
I think we're, just to answer, if I can just say, so we are comfortable with competition. We're not concerned about both fuels will coexist. I think the fact that Gujarat Gas is, forced to make announcements about how they are, linking their price to propane and this or that, just probably speaks more to their concerns than our concerns. So,
also, let me highlight one more thing. Just look at, if you are in Mumbai, I don't know where you are based, just look at the PNG price. 51 rupees is what you will see in your bill per SCM versus Morbi 41 rupees. Okay, in spite of 41 rupees, we are competing. Just imagine PNG being sold at 51 to common man and the industry is being supplied at 41 to survive. So that's how far propane has pushed NG if you look at Morbi. But as I said, it's not only Morbi that we supply. We continue supplying to Morbi. We have not stopped. We are still supplying quite good quantities in Morbi along with other PSUs, NOCs, but there are other, we supply industrial distribution from Mumbai, from Haldia, from Pipawa, all over. And as I again repeat, there is a whole wide world of dirty fuel which is there to be tapped by both NG and propane and continue to grow from here on, because the volumes which these two clean fuel have are very, very low compared to the dirty fuel that is presently being consumed in the country by the industries.
Sure, sir. Point noted. So, second question is on the liquid business. Considering very above expectation quarter, like you said, we should ideally look at it on a yearly basis. So, sir, on the liquid business, whenever we are setting up, because recently we have commissioned a lot of new storage terminals, how is the customer buildup and the capacity utilization? How is the customer buildup happening? And what is the IRR which is expected? Like you have mentioned, a normal stabilized IRR of 25%, but in general, like, does the capacity come up, and before that the customer signing happens? How is it?
So there is nothing like customer signing, but we only go where there is a demand. So we follow the demand. We don't wait for the demand to follow us. We don't believe in flag planting. So whenever our terminals are commissioned, they are put to use from day one, most of the time. Therefore, we always have a technical, I can say, 100% utilization, because we realize the expected revenues and EBITDAs which we plan for. And therefore, like I said, we expect the money to be back in our kitty between 3 to 4 years on an IRR of around 25%.
Sure, sir. And sir, on the ammonia front, sorry, sir, I missed the CAPEX number.
Oh, CAPEX number, we have said approximately 500 crores for a 36,000 metric tons capacity.
Okay, sure. And sir, would you know the market size of ammonia, the import market size of ammonia?
It just is mostly for self as of now in India. So the users have their own terminals and they are importing as of now. But we see quite a few of demand which is coming up from chemical and fertilizer companies, and we easily expect this first one, which is a very ideal location. It will be more so for green ammonia when it comes, but green ammonia will give a step up in the revenues, which I have just said. It will not be 3000 or it will not be 3500, it will be much more, but it will take some time green ammonia, we still believe. So it may not be in 2026 when we commission that we will start straight away with green ammonia. We may start with gray, which we have on ground seen enough demand for our terminal use as we have planned. But going forward, we'll see quite a few upside. And we have said that like LPG, when we started only with storage, ammonia also we can get vertically integrated after a few years, sourcing and distributing ammonia also. But that would take a few years more.
Sure, sir. Great. Congratulations once again. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, request you to limit your questions to two per participants. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So quick question on Morbi side. How much is the pricing gap between the propane and natural gas at a Morbi? That's one. Which one is the cheaper nowadays? And what is your in-house estimates about next 2 to 3 quarters, the propane demand in the Morbi region? And lastly, how many ceramic units have already installed the propane receiving infrastructure at Morbi?
Oh, that is very difficult. We don't have it on hand. But the price differential between the two would still be between 7 to 10%, with propane being cheaper. And I've already said 40% propane, we believe, is what is being consumed in Morbi from out of their total gas demand as of now.
Any ballpark number out of, suppose, how much MMSMD propane is getting consumed and how much is the natural gas? Any ballpark figure you have?
No, I think their total demand is around over 1 million tons. In a year, so you can calculate that 40% would be propane, 60% would be NG.
And sir, you are suggesting propane is cheaper by 7-8%, right?
That's propane right. Is cheaper, correct. Yes, even today. Yes.
Even today. And lastly, just any in-house estimates from your side for the next 2 to 3 quarters, the propane demand in the Morbi.
Look, we have said that you have to look at the year, not quarter to quarter. And for the year, we see that the distribution volumes overall, I am again repeating, the world doesn't begin and end with Morbi. But overall, looking at our entire portfolio of distribution, we expect a 25 to 30% rise in the ensuing year as compared with the previous year.
Okay, and let me
just because I know that everybody is concerned about Morbi, just to reinforce what Murad said, that we have actually 4 LPG terminals and they don't only serve Morbi, right? So we do serve other markets as well, and we to reinforce what you said, that there are plenty of other industrial customers that we are also servicing. So, you know, that's
okay, thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhruv Shiv Rohira from CWC Advisors. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
So, firstly, congratulations on the results. Just had a couple of questions. One was on the liquid division. So typically, at least from what I've understood, the ROCE numbers seem a bit lower than the gas segment. So I just wanted to ask, where do you see the return on capital employed, at least as of FY24 for liquids? And do you see it expanding over the next few years? And what do you think would give you confidence that that number would grow over time?
Sorry, did you say that the liquid division numbers are low?
No. The return on capital employed numbers are lower than the gas segment is what my understanding was.
Both the businesses are different. The gas business is vertically integrated. We just do not only store, we also distribute and source LPG, which have no investments, but you get an EBITDA coming out of those business. They are franchise driven. So therefore, the EBITDA margins and the return will definitely be more in gas as compared to liquid. But when you are calculating return on capital employed for the segments, you have to keep in mind CWIP which and the assets which are under construction but not yet put to use, as well as there are assets which are put to use but at various intervals during the year, and we also are carrying huge amount of cash. So if you make adjustments on all of that, and in addition, always keep in mind liquid division has got freehold land at Mumbai, which you have to also make adjustment for. Once you do that, you will see the return on capital employed as we say, 25% IRR in liquid and around close to 50% IRR in LPG when it stands vertically integrated.
Understood. Thanks for that. And secondly, so could you comment on, in the longer term, what you expect LPG demand in India to be like? I know that's a little bit far-fetched, but so
given,
say that demand today in India is around...
If you look at our presentation, the presentation talks about import of 25 million in 2034-35, whereas in the current year, the imports of LPG have already crossed 20 million. So we are really very conservative as far as our presentation is concerned. It is growing, and we believe the story going forward will be definitely for cooking gas, but in addition to cooking gas, there will be an energy transition story where we will see a transition. 17% of energy requirement of India is still unprocessed biomass, 17% still, and the easiest thing to substitute unprocessed biomass is LPG, because it is portable. You can reach it anywhere without any great investment. Yeah, you have seen how LPG replaced kerosene, right, in past, with government's push and really focused incentives and a plan. This is what is going to happen going forward, that in energy requirement, where the present mix is completely tilted towards dirty fuel, and the growing energy requirement which the country is seeing on account of growing GDP, there is going to be a huge demand for all clean fuels, whether it is natural gas, LPG, hydrogen, ammonia, renewables. All of them will see very healthy growth because their base is very, very low at present.
I'd just like to remind you that LPG is not just a fuel, but it also is used in petchem manufacturing, as well as, so there are plenty of applications for LPG which are not just for burning or cooking, so on. So we expect, I think this year, the total demand of LPG in the country was about 31 million tons. That's going to continue rising over the next
year. And I think I'll just give you a very simple example of diesel-run gensets, okay?
Yes.
If you look at diesel at 90 rupees and you get, by burning diesel, only 3 energy units, the cost of generating energy is 30 rupees. Whereas if you look at, if you can convert it to propane run, then the cost of propane is around 50 rupees, and the units of energy you get is somewhere around 12, the cost is only 4 or 5 rupees compared to 30 rupees. So there are so many applications, so many areas where yet this application of clean fuel has yet to happen and is going to happen going forward. The only question is the pace. So the amount of time that it is going to take is the only question mark. Otherwise, there is no question about the transition of energy that will happen from dirty fuel to clean fuel. And all these clean fuels, which are very, very low in volume as on today, including natural gas, will grow.
No, of course. So, I mean, I agree with you completely, but just if you have a, you know, if you can give me some kind of a ball estimate, because today I know that demand is at 31 million, and where will you see this reaching in 3 to 4 years?
I
And
wish,
also, how much do you expect the terminal of that? So I know.
It's a combination of lot of factors where you should have the capacity, you should have the distribution network, you should have the product, you should have the shipping. There are hundreds of things which have to be aligned for any energy product for that matter. And the demand also to mature. You know, it depends on the income effect. As the income effect is going to happen, there will be less resistance to switch to clean fuel. So there are number of factors, but what can be for sure is that there will be a healthy growth year-on-year going forward for several decades now. And as far as propane, also note one thing, the availability will not be an issue for coming 2 or 3 decades because of shale gas. That is there, that is happening, and that is going to ensure abundant availability of LPG going forward. And looking at the portability of the product, looking at almost zero greenhouse effect potential, GHP. If you look at, as far as propane is concerned, it's almost zero. And you look at the Environmental Pollution Boards, what stand they are taking. If you go for a renewal now, they will ask from you that what is your plan to substitute diesel from the genset, et cetera. So the awareness and environment becoming a very sensitive issue. Look at the climate change that is happening, the heat that we are facing. It's all because of greenhouse effect, et cetera, that is there. But everything takes time. Everything has to happen in some time. It cannot happen overnight. And the pace, no one can project or predict as such. But I think for us, whatever we are doing, we feel there is sufficient, there would be sufficient demand to get us where we want to be, as far as throughput is concerned, as far as profitability is concerned. So if we compress it and look at only our company, I think we have enough on our plate as opportunities in this sector to grow and thrive going forward.
Understood, and thank you for that. Just a last quick one on that.
Sorry to interrupt, Shiv sir. Can you come in the queue for the follow-up question?
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, on great set of numbers and announcement of ammonia plant. So most of my questions are answered. Just one clarity I wanted to check on liquids, which you have mentioned it's better to look on yearly basis. But a sudden spike this quarter compared to any other quarter historically. So can we expect such kind of things happening next year? Or I just wanted to understand if there is a significant one-off in this.
Sorry, I did not get your question right.
So liquids, the performance this quarter, you mentioned that we need to look at a yearly basis, right?
Sorry, Lavanya, we obviously we can't predict a particular spike in any one particular quarter. So I think Murad has explained that it, you know, combination of things like product mix, spot contracts that might turn up, and so on. So we can't predict the future in so much detail. So rather than focusing on one particular quarter, I think we take the full year and extrapolate next year. What do we think with the additional capacity coming on stream and so on? I think we should get a pretty solid performance. So I wouldn't take one quarter's numbers and multiply by four, but I think it's a little more complex modeling of taking the extra capacity, our normal guidance on 3,000 rupees per kiloliter, and we know what the EBITDA margins are that we've talked about. So that's probably the better way to approach it.
Okay, got it, sir. Also, just on the distribution part, I wanted to check one thing. So this time, I think gas distribution EBITDA was much better than last quarter. Is it the right way of looking at it? Last quarter, I think it was slightly softer in terms of EBITDA contribution.
Yes, you're right. In this quarter, we got procurement efficiencies. I have always said that for distribution, you have, if you are modeling and if you are trying to project, please take 3,000 rupees as a standard EBITDA margin in distribution business. Because quarter to quarter, it might change. Sometimes it is 2,500, sometimes 3,000, 4,000. So it depends on what kind of efficiencies you are able to unlock in one particular quarter. But overall, if you look at the year, I think 3,000 is a very good number to look at as far as distribution business is concerned. As far as throughput is concerned, I think now is the time for us to take 1,100 as the rate of EBITDA.
Yeah, throughput is clear. Just the distribution part, if you look at the overall yearly basis, how much would it be? 3,000 is the number.
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Deep Mehta from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a very robust set of numbers. Two questions. First is regarding our economics of our new ammonia plant. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we have roughly 36,000 MT of capacity, and with 3x throughput, we can do 1,08,000 tons of volumes. And if I multiply it by 1,000, the number comes around 11 crores. So where are we missing in the calculation?
Yeah, you're right.
So revenue potential is around 11 crores, correct?
Per month, not per year.
Achha, this is per month number. Okay, very clear. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, it's per month.
And second question is regarding slightly top-down question. Recently, the ruling government has announced that they are planning to supply natural gas to each and every household via pipeline. Is it even possible? What percentage of it is possible?
You tell me. Yeah. I am not in that business, so I will not be able to help you out on that.
As an insider, you interact with the clients and you have better idea about the...
No, we are focused on propane. And we see enough, again I am saying, repeating, that energy transition, what you are talking about is cooking, right?
Yeah.
We are here talking about a very wide application of LPG as a gas, where the government is doing it at most. It is the only gas where government writes you a check. It is the only gas where government gives you first time user, first cylinder free. It is the only gas where government is investing 100% in pipeline grids. So there is enough push. In fact, last 10 years has led to a fantastic change in the LPG growth story because of various initiatives taken by the government. So that's where I rest my case as far as propane is concerned. Enough on the ground, enough potential to grow, and enough push by the government, continuous push. Not one-time question.
Very clear, sir. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Chandaria for closing comments.
Thank you very much. And thank you for all your questions. I hope we have been able to answer most of them. Now, in summary, all the developments that I outlined, in terms of our expansion programs and the tanks that and storage facilities that we have brought online and we expect to bring online in the next year, really position us extremely well to continue executing on our mission, which is to store and distribute these bulk liquids and gases in a safe and sustainable manner. And, while we do so, we also remain confident that we can deliver good financial results in FY25 as well and into FY26 as well. So thank you so much to all of you for participating in this call, and we will speak next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Orient Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.